Hello, boys and girls. It's that time of the year again. It's the Christmas edition of Louisville's Best Podcast. At this point, John is subtly playing Christmas music over top of what I'm hoping is here, jingle bells, or sounds like snow's falling, or who knows?
Sipping my eggnog.
Yes, exactly. We're excited to be here with you. Glad to be sharing this holiday season with you and your family, your loved ones. Hope you have cozied up to the fire, got some hot chocolate in your hand, snuggy wrapped around you.
Watching the fire on YouTube.
Yeah, watching the fire on YouTube with our dulcet tones coming over your Alexa speaker right
now.
That's
a good word. That's a good word. Yeah. Dulcet tones.
Yes. Yeah, so thank you. Thank you for curling up with us and keeping us warm. But anyways, we're excited that you're here. Guys, got an exciting topic because I can relate to it because one of these items in the topic I actually stood in line for. But before we get there, I want to see how you guys are doing. Charlie, out of town, seeing the sights of the Northeast currently. Aaron, sick. Maybe seeing the sights of his bathroom currently, unsure, but hope to have both of those guys back soon. Here's a question for you, John. What item have you stood in line to buy, and how long? What's the longest you stood in line? I know you're not a line stander.
I'm not a line stander at
all. I know, but there's got to be something, John.
I'm trying to think. Man, that's a good one because...
Do rides at Disney World count?
Yeah, standing in line at the Droid Factory, you know, does that count?
Yeah.
That's a tough one because I don't really recall. It had to be years ago because I don't stand in line anymore. I just buy it on Amazon if I want it. We don't plug Amazon on here enough or anything, but that's what I'll do. Probably a video game at some point, maybe stood in line for a Madden. I can't recall exactly what I would stand. Now, are you standing, like, now when you say standing in line, let's set the parameter.
Okay.
Are you saying, like, okay, I'm specifically standing in this line with all these other people to get this one thing, or like standing in line at the Walmart behind 15 people because they've got 14 carts full of food?
The first thing.
Probably.
Like, you went specifically for that item.
It's probably a video game, but I couldn't tell you which one or anything like that. I remember one time we were at the mall though, and this guy GameStop, and we went in, and me and Carla, this guy walks up and he was like, "The new Madden comes out tonight at midnight." This guy didn't even look like he knew what football was. And I was like, "Oh, really? Yeah, it's going to be cool. We're going to have a party. We're going to have food. We're going to have Cokes." And Carlos just has to leave the GameStop because she was laughing so hard at this guy. And I felt really bad for him. So I was like, "Well, maybe I'll just come back at midnight and get a drink and get
that
new
watch
Madden."
The show that's getting ready to happen.
Yeah.
Did you go, John?
No, I didn't. I didn't go.
Going to say that would have been really out of your.
Yeah,
that'd you imagine John. Did? I would have been like, he was kidnapped. That's what happened. That's the only way you would have gotten John there.
Yeah. No, I was. No. All right. Yeah, I can't recall. It's probably a video game or something like that. But it'd been back years ago.
Brian, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Something you stood in line for?
Well. When you say that, the very first thing that pops in my head is standing in the lines at the kids' consignment sales.
They
go on for what feels like forever.
Yeah.
You all were about those things.
Oh, my gosh. I've got to just disdain.
But anything you, like, particularly went to the store to get?
Yes. We were talking about Fallout in between episodes. So Fallout New Vegas, that game, I remember because I wanted to buy the collector's edition. Because I love Fallout 3 so much. And I remember like being there at the GameStop when it was going to open. And I was about five or sixth in line. Because it was when the one was there on the Greenbelt, I think. Mm-hmm. And
the Ragged Road one?
The Ragged Road one. And so I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, I'm in fifth. Like, is there a shot that five of these people want collector's edition? So you know how it is in the line. You start kind of going, playing the game.
What
y'all here for? The Star Wars figure coming out? Like, we're from New Vegas. Which one? Oh, collector's edition. And I'm like, man, I'm not going to have a shot at it, you know. But I got it. And then it turned out to be like exactly the same game as Fallout 3. And I was like, I did not need to buy this.
New Vegas was junk. Yeah. The game was not very good at all.
Yeah. It was something. And then, of course, like I shared in our last podcast, the infamous TV trays of 2000. That was the year, I think it was. So
I think the last time I stood in line for anything was probably near Christmas time. And I stood in line, and I think it was in E-Town, actually. Me and my mom went down there for something, and they, KB Toys, they were releasing the first EA Sports March Madness, and it was right there at Christmas time somewhere. I think I stood in line for that. I think I said, because I wanted a basketball, I wanted a college basketball game so bad. And I still play a 2K8. Yeah. I mean, that's the last good one. But yeah, that's probably it. I mean, I'd say, like I said, it was a sports game because that's all I play anymore is sports games.
Yeah,
but
I've stood in line for like autographs, you know, autograph shows.
Yeah,
that kind
I wouldn't
of thing.
Count those.
But like,
yeah,
not
yeah,
like
yeah.
an item, like, oh, I'm going to go purchase you know, this item.
I stood in line once at the Carl Kasper Custom Auto Show to meet Luke Duke.
Well, mine was Stone Cold. Like, that was my favorite moment of my celebrity.
Because to show
encounters.
How old I was, because, man, they were all the rage then, the late 70s, early 80s. And we stood in line to meet Luke
Carl
Duke.
Carl Kasper.
Yeah. No,
I've stood in some lines for Funkos, but the line that I probably stood in the longest we'll get to because it's on this list. And last podcast, Brian and John took a trip down Nostalgia Lane, and they brought up DivX.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
DivX. which was a DVD type streaming system that didn't really get picked up. Didn't do well. And so I found an article on cracked.com of 12 video game peripherals that were supposed to change the industry, but did not. So these are video game accessories that were going to just revolutionize. I'm hoping, John, I think you're going to have a lot of to say because some of this is probably more in your time
frame.
Well,
and I was going to say some of this is probably in the old school department, probably Nintendo NES.
Yeah. Well, my first thought was that Sonic glove. That was the one that popped in my head.
Yeah, that was amazing.
So the first one on this list is it's Nintendo related. It is the ROB Rob.
I had that.
It's a robot that was supposed to play a game with you.
Gyromite.
It would be if the robot was competent. Or the few games he played along with you were fun, but evidently it was neither.
Well, no, it was terrible. It was, but I mean, the thing about it is when you look at it, because I was a first generation NESer. I mean, that's what I was. I mean, I remember when those things came out. I think I got my first one in 84, 85, and I got it for my birthday, and it was the Power Pack one. So it had Duck Hunt. Yep. And it was before they started releasing Mario Brothers on it, so I didn't have Super Mario Bros., but we had Duck Hunt and Gyromite. Those were the first two games that came on it. Mm-hmm. And the laser, the gun, worked awesome. Yes. I mean, that game was that gun was amazing. Gyromite in and
ducks
of itself.
For days.
So frustrating.
John, tell me the premise of the Rob. Rob, what he was supposed to do.
What he did was, is you had this game called Gyromite, and you had this robot named Rob, and you would set him, and he would look at the. It was really innovative. I mean, it was way above its time. So you would have this robot, and he looked at you, pointed him at the screen. He had to be looking at the screen. And this game was Gyromite, and you had these two gyros that set on these.
One was red, one was blue.
Red and blue, yeah. And they would sit there, and what they were doing is you were this mad scientist, and you were inside this game, and you had these red and blue pillars that would move. And I don't think you really had any control over the character. I think he just walked.
You could move him some, but you had to, like, for instance, so you had to get through the board, if you will, and you would come up onto one of these pillars that would be, you couldn't move past it, and it would be a color. And in theory, the robot was supposed to be able to help you say, oh, I need a blue one, so it would pick the blue one. And it would drop it, and then that would drop the column.
Well, the one I had, the way it worked was
you could just grab the other remote.
It was insane because if you hit A, it would flash green on the screen, and he would pick up a gyro.
Yep.
But what you had to do was he would move it over, and he would drop it into this machine, and it would spin it. That's where the gyro comes in. And it was like, I mean, that thing would take off, and they were like, warning, don't touch it because you'll burn your hand.
Yeah.
And then once it got up to speed, you would click it and he would go over and he would set it on the blue or the red
that he needed to,
toggle, and he would let go and the gyro would just spin. It would just sit there and spin on that thing. So the objective was is to keep these gyros spinning and keep him moving through the board while these little goblin things were trying to eat him. The problem was with it, as somebody who actually owned this thing, was that when you flashed, the goblins would move faster than the robot could move the gyro. Mm-hmm. So what we did is we just finally, we liked the game. So me and my friend next door, we got rid of the robot, set him off the side.
Because you use the other controller.
And you would use the other controller.
And A was one color, B was one color, and you could just...
And we would sit there, and I don't even know how we played it this way, but we would sit there, and one of us would look at the screen and control the guy, and the other one would turn his back to the screen and just push the buttons and try to kill... You know, you were trying to make it through before he killed you.
Right.
Yeah, but it was innovative. I mean, I remember that. I mean, that was such a big deal to have that robot. I wish I still had it. Wow. I wish I still had a thing sitting on my shelf right now. I sold it at a yard sale for like $3.
The only thing I know about Rob is he's in Smash Brothers. That's it.
Yeah, so. I wish I still had it just for the nostalgia of having one sitting on my dresser. I mean, or my counter. That'd be great.
Yeah,
but you can't find them. I mean, they're. I don't know how expensive. I think they're.
I don't know
how collectible they are, but. Yeah, I had an original.
I'm about to watch a video on this because I understand what you're saying, but I don't understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it's weird. It was so weird.
Yeah.
The next one here is this is not up my alley as well. Evidently, you could get a Tony Hawk's rideable skateboard that somehow interacted with the video game.
Never played. That was beyond my time.
Yeah,
I was out of that type of. I never got into the skateboarding stuff at all.
The only skating game I ever played was Skate or Die.
Oh, that was a good one.
That was the only one I ever played.
The only thing I can think is it had to be like an old, like the power pad or a balance board or something
like
that.
I remember the casing, I think, that it came in was, of course, the long elongated side because it would be for the, you know, the skateboard would be in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would, I think it had something on there that would sense, you know,
your movement, but...
Yeah,
I wasn't fooling with that. Like I said, skateboard game wouldn't have gotten me to buy it.
No, I'm not. I was never into the Tony Hawk stuff. That was later on after I had already kind of. I don't want to say after I stopped playing video games because I still play them. I'm 48 and I still play. Yeah. I still play my sports.
I interact with bird people now.
Yeah, we won't talk about that.
The next one, John. I'm hoping you have some insight here. It's the Atari Mind Link. It was a mind control controller. That really just basically recorded your forehead movements.
I remember it, but I'd never had it. Now, the one I had, and I can't remember the name of the game, but it came with a number pad on a computer. And it was a space game, and you had to push certain buttons to change views. I don't remember the memory or the mind link. I don't remember that at all.
Okay, we'll go to the next one. So the next one is the Xbox Kinect, where the Xbox camera was supposed to turn your entire body into the game controller.
Do you remember the girls when Susie was in like kindergarten or first grade? They'd come over house, then they would do that raft game.
Yeah,
because
you had a Kinect, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I never had a Kinect, but
it was not the best at reading your actions. I do remember. My brother-in-law got his nose broke playing it.
Oh, my gosh.
Spencer, I think, was playing soccer and flung his arm back and
hit him in the face. Caught him in the nose. Brian's the only person I know that ever owned one. And Susan didn't like playing with it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you would really want to play like some hardcore
game. No, like game Madden or nothing. Yeah, you would do that.
Like Dance Dance Revolution, that's the one they used to play. Yep. And that's perfectly fine for the Kinect.
Yeah.
But I remember like people were like, oh, I started using my Kinect to find ghosts because it would pick up. It was like, oh, you people are stupid. And other people were like, well, you don't want to have your Kinect on while you're trying to watch a movie with a bunch of people because if it reads more than five people in your room, it'll shut your movie off. And it was like, so we turn our Kinect around at the wall. It's like, you people.
Why would it?
I don't know. It was like, well, because if you have more than five people in your room, it's considered a viewing of them. Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but I remember that was one of the big urban legends that ran around.
The next one I've never seen, but I'm going to have to show you guys this picture. It is the GameCube keyboard controller. It's literally a GameCube controller with a full keyboard on it. I have no idea.
I owned a GameCube, but I don't remember that.
I have no idea. It looks like a fake thing that somebody made. Like, hey, guys, I was bored over the weekend, and I sawed my GameCube in half and glued it on the side of a keyboard.
There are times like...
they glued their BlackBerry to a controller.
Being the customizer I am with Madden and stuff, trying to get different whatever I'm trying to do with it. There's times when I wish I had a keyboard that would hook up to my Xbox and let me use it so I could type names.
Well,
in and
stuff. Have I got something for you, John?
Oh, I can't wait!
It's the GameCube keyboard.
I had a GameCube.
It's the size of like your table you're at right now.
The GameCube was a good system. I mean, it had some really good games in it. Great. Zelda, the Wind Waker was
whichever.
Was
Zelda
a great.
Whichever.
It was almost like, but it was like cell animation. That's what made it so cool. It was a hard game, but I remember playing that one because it was good. And I had I can't remember what else I had on that thing. I had one, but I don't remember what games I had. I just remember the discs were real little and real easy to lose.
It was cool. It was little tiny discs.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is really cool.
Yeah, it was a neat system.
No, wait. Is that the GameCube? Yeah.
It was GameCube. It had the weird controllers and stuff.
It was a little box. It was a little cube.
Little cube. Yeah. I had a silver one.
Yeah. I think we had a purple one.
Yep. But I can't remember whatever happened.
Number five is the Super Nintendo Exercise Bike.
I don't remember that one.
It's way before the Wii Fit craze. Nintendo had a peripheral to provide entertainment. This now rare bike is one of the most expensive clothes hangers in the world. Here's a lady that's got hooked up to like a rollable TV.
Oh my gosh.
And it literally interacted. I assume it acts just like the gamepad, which you would do like track and field and stuff, which that thing never worked really well either. No. I don't know if you guys ever had that one.
I didn't have it played on it, but
yeah, I had a friend that had it.
But like if a sealed copy of track and field is one of the most expensive Nintendo games ever. If you ever find one somewhere, it's worth thousands of dollars. If it's sealed, yeah. The one that had the pad.
Yeah,
you had to have the pad. But man, it was I watched a documentary on that one time.
Really?
Guy was trying to get it, and it was they were asking thousands of dollars.
That's crazy. This next thing I've never heard of. It's called the Aura Interactor. It is made. It's you sit on it. It looks like a massage chair thing, and it's supposed to be like 3D sound. 3D. It's supposed to be like a 4D experience. So, like, if you get punched or shot in the game, it would literally, like...
electrocute you.
Or, like, it would play, like, music really loud around you. Oh, or, I guess, like, shove you in the back or something like that. They don't even actually have a live person sitting on it. It's, like, a drawing. I'm not sure it ever really made it onto the floor. But if it says here, it's the perfect gift for the gamer in your life who actually wants to feel like they got punched or shot. In the game that they're playing.
No, I don't. I don't. No, I don't. I don't want that. I mean,
I get sore just sitting there playing in Madden for 2 or 3 hours. Gosh. I don't need another thing.
I mean, it could be like one of those ships.
Can you imagine if you feel like you got speared, just like your chair just dumps you over on the floor.
Some of those hits you lay out on that game, it's just like, man,
it could be like one of those shiatsu massages for you, you know?
I mean, let's play some NHL and watch them blow up somebody and just... Carla comes down on Leonard dead in the middle of the floor. No, thank you. I'll stay away from that chair.
The next one, I mean, I don't know what it was about video games that wanted to get you up off your feet, but it was the Sega Activator. It's this little ring that you stand in, kind of an octagon. It's another full body controller that lets you punch in Mortal Kombat with your actual punches. It barely worked, and it only ever gets talked about in lists like this one.
See, these are things. Some of these things I've never heard of though before, because I had still to this day, I will honestly say that the Sega Genesis was the best video game system I ever owned.
Loved the Sega.
The Sega Genesis.
Sega
was
Dreamcast
awesome.
Would have been my vote,
and because
I didn't have enough money to get a Dreamcast.
The Dreamcast I never had the Sega Genesis, so I skipped that.
But the
Dreamcast was my. That football game, that first year that 2K football came out.
I got so many memories of playing Sports Talk football and Sports Talk baseball on that Genesis, and it was just absolutely amazing. I still had mine for years. And when we actually had it when me and Carla bought the house in 2001.
Really?
I still had it. And I don't know what I did with it.
The most amazing thing ever was the Sega Channel.
You had the Sega Channel.
It took us months to get it to finally work, but when it worked, it was so fun.
I mean, that was like the great grandfather of online gaming or streaming games.
It came through your TV line.
Yeah.
It was amazing. We loved it. I can remember Mom being on the phone with the cable company for like weeks trying to get this thing to work because we had paid for it.
Yeah.
And it finally, we had to get like a special adapter.
Was it a subscription based thing? Or
it was like an add on to your cable bill or something like that. Yeah. Like a monthly, like like an HBO.
But
or
you had
something.
To have like the fiber optic cable or
you
something.
You had to get
have
some
it.
Kind yeah. of special cable. That was the problem. Why it wouldn't work. And once we got that, it was like, it worked like a charm. I mean, we played the crap.
I remember y'all
out
having that. I mean, that was amazing. I never had it. I would love to have had
Brian
it.
Used to spend the
but
night
see, it's, it, but it is. It's the granddaddy to like PlayStation Network and Xbox. I can't remember what they call theirs, Game Pass or whatever it is. Which I mean, like now you can sign up for the Xbox one for like $1 a month
isn't
or something
crazy.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. It's I won't. I never have done it because I don't like playing those games. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I remember y'all having that. That was a great. That was amazing.
But to your point, Sega was one of the best, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Sega, the Sega
shame
Genesis.
That it never really, it just kind of died with the Genesis.
I wish I knew what had happened to mine. I would love to be able to go and just like dig and find it and find some kind of adapter to be able to hook it back up and play it. But it's probably, man, it's probably long gone by now.
Oh, Streets of Rage. I love playing Streets of Rage.
That's a good
one. All right. The last one on this list is the item I stood in line for. I remember coworkers and myself looking for this, and you know, you would hear like, Walmart got a couple of these in or whatever. And I remember standing in line on Black Friday. I think I got there to Meijer at like 3 a.m. and stood for like 3 hours for a Wii Fit.
I never had it, never bought the Wii Fit. Didn't you? Hang on, if I remember, didn't you go like hours out of town to get a Wii?
Yeah.
You went up like to somewhere in Indiana? It, like,
no, I went to Florence.
Florence, Kentucky, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Brittany's cousin worked at a GameStop or something like that, and he got one in and we set it aside for us or bought it, and we met him.
I know you went because that thing was hot.
That was a hot item. It really was.
My original one's at my mom and dad's, and Macy still plays it.
Yeah.
Like the original one there.
Does she really?
Yeah.
There's, like, Wii's are now, like, selling again for, like, $100+.
The original
whatever.
Ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got an original one at home. Yeah. But I got one. I wanted one, but you could never find them, And one night, it was a Friday night. Susie was little, and we just happened to, I walked into Walmart. And walk back to electronics. This is when the electronics was in the center of the store at Valley Station. And they had two of them. And I hit that counter. I was like, I want that Wii. Mm-hmm. And the guy went over, unlocked the door, and got mine out. And this girl walked up behind me. She's like, I want that one. The dude sold both of them. That was the only two they had. Sold them both in like 30 seconds.
That's crazy.
And we played the fire out of that
thing. Yeah, we did.
Because
it came with Wii Sports, which was such a
oh, it was
great
amazing.
Game.
Yes. It was an amazing game. And it was the best thing.
We played Wii Bowling.
Oh, we bowled and
so
bowled
much.
And bowled. When we did,
we bought the little like accessories where you could put in the steering like the wheel tennis, or the tennis racket, the hockey stick.
One of the most popular things we ever did was because I had one, Tim had one, and Aaron had one, I think, or somebody else had one.
Yeah, and I was married at this time, so
yeah. And we would do vacation Bible school. And we would set up a Wii room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was one of the absolutely most popular things we ever did at that church. I mean, people would come, little kids, those kids would come and just, we had four of them or five of them.
I still have
there?
The tape on our controller where we had to write our names on our controllers from that.
Yeah. Because we would set them up, had TVs in there, and Aaron would run it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and it was so super popular. But, we loved it because the thing about, I don't know why we're on the Wii.
We're talking about Wii Fit.
But the thing about the Wii was so great was it was so portable.
Yes.
It wasn't like an Xbox somewhere you had to pick it up and drag it somewhere.
Yeah.
Because like, I can remember we had it, I had one, and it's when my grandparents were still alive and they were still living on their own, but my grandmother was really sick. So my mom and dad would go over to their house and I mean, they would spend hours over there. So me and Carla would go over there to take Susie when she was little bitty. And we'd take the Wii and hook it up to their television. And me and mom and Carla and dad, whenever he would do it,
right,
would bowl. I mean, that's what we do. And my grandparents and my grandpa loved it because it was just, you know, something to watch. And of course, my grandmother was not there. But the Wii was, I mean, I got a lot of good memories out of that Wii.
The Wii Fit was literally an exercise. It was like a little yoga stand. Mm-hmm. It would get in, it would plug directly into your Wii, and it would feel the pressure of you getting on it. And so you had boxing, running, different things like that. And like, if you stuck with it and like dedicated yourself to it, you could potentially lose some pounds. But I mean, the thing also would like make fun of you. The game, would be like, "Oh, Tim's fat." I mean, it wouldn't say fat, but it would be like, put in your height, put in your weight, and like it would then create a me of you. And like if you put like, "Oh, I'm 5'10", 210," it would be like a fat me. You know, it was just like, "Oh, Tim's looking frumpy today," or something.
But that's
like that.
But that's a Nintendo quirkiness that they put in all their stuff. Because the thing about Wii was so, because like even with the Wii, it was like, you know, you think they would encourage you to play and play and play. But like if you played for like 30 minutes or so, it would come up and it'd have like the open window with the Wii controller. And it's like, "Hey, why don't you take a break and go outside?"
Be like, "Get outside, loser."
And that was, Nintendo was just quirky like that. This is, your brother would be going crazy on this podcast tonight. But see, I don't really think of the Wii Fit as being a disaster or a...
It wasn't. Like,
because it was very popular.
It sold out a ton. But at the same time, like, I think it was like a fad, it was like a quick fad. People were over it pretty quickly, and then it just became a second.
People got tired of being called fat.
Yeah. The second game we played constantly when Susie was little and like in the winter was a Carnival.
Yes,
that Carnival game was just outstanding. It was a great game. Yeah. We played it all the time.
And then they did the Toy Story Mania game.
Yeah,
that we played that a lot too.
Yeah,
but those are really the only games that I don't. I mean, they had a lot of different games for Wii, but I didn't like the graphics of a Wii. So I didn't buy like sports games for it. I just bought quirky games. Mm-hmm. Susie had a bunch of like Go-Go Kitchen and Babysitter's Club and
The Raymond's Raving Rabbits game.
That game was fun.
That game was insane.
I made the mistake of buying Madden 1 year for it. And like literally had it for like 2 days, and I was like, "This is garbage. You can't throw.
It was terrible in sports games.
The only sports game
out of Wii Sports outside of Wii Sports.
Yes, exactly.
They had a baseball game, and I think it was called Big Shots Baseball, and it was an arcade Major League Baseball game, and that was okay because you could.
I remember that
you could play a little bit on it, and it was fine, but it was never going to be it was never simulated. It was like MLB The Show or anything like that. But I played a lot of Wii. We played a lot of Wii when she was little. And we've got a Wii U at the house now, all my controllers and stuff are at my mom's because Macy took all her controllers over there this summer, and she loves it. I mean, she still plays that Wii all the time.
So that's awesome. Good. Yeah. A lot of good video game memories. Aaron would, I know, he's probably wishing he was here. But we'd love to hear your video game memories. We'd love to hear accessories. I mean, we didn't even talk about the Power Glove. I'm surprised that wasn't on the list.
Power Glove was, there's several of them we didn't talk about. We talked about the Power Glove. We didn't talk about the Nintendo virtual reality that gave you seizures because it was just in red.
Yeah.
But I will tell you one accessory that was for the Nintendo that really worked well. And I loved it. I used it all the time. Was the NES Advantage controller.
Oh, yes. No, I love that controller.
That NES Advantage controller.
I didn't have enough money for that one.
Turbo.
No, the best game accessory ever. The Game Genie.
Oh, yeah.
Game Genie was awesome. I had the Game Shark.
Yeah.
I had the Game Shark that came out a little bit later.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, that was... Man,
can you imagine them coming out with a Game Genie now? Everybody would be like, that's cheap.
See, in the modern world, what you do is especially if you play PC games or Mac games, is you don't use it. You mod.
Yeah.
You use modifications and stuff. Or what they do a lot of times now, which is cool that the developers do this, and they do this with like the Sims. Mm-hmm. And SimCity and stuff does this, is they leave all the backdoor development codes in, and if you can figure them out, you can do things with them. Because like with SimCity... The old SimCity 3000, so when it came on, it would pop up and it'd give you the little llama. It had a llama that went with it, and it would say on there, "There are no cheat codes for this game. Repromise. Don't hit Control-Alt-Delete and try to find these codes." And if you clicked it and you hit help, it would come up with all the different backdoor codes they would use for development. And it was like, you know, free money, free this, free that.
Well, like Warcraft had that.
Yeah, and it was fun. I mean, and I still use them to this day. I mean, I've told you earlier I'm playing a game called Stellaris. and it's like you click and it's like instant slash build, and it's like, you know, you don't have to spend money building things, which is fun to do. You know, it's just, they're fun little mods here and there, which is the same thing you do. But all the cheat codes and stuff have been taken out of most of the. You don't have that like you used to have up, down, left, right, A, B, select, start. Oh, yeah. You don't have all that.
Well, and that's what's weird too is like, you know, I can like imagine if when we were playing, right, like back in the day when the stuff came out, that you could eventually, with those like online, you could build, you could spend hours building a profile and then turn around and sell your profile.
Yeah.
Like I remember when War, I think it was Warcraft you were mentioning, Tim, like that was one of the first games I remember where like somebody had hit this ridiculous level that they had spent like years getting to, and they turned around, put it on eBay and got like some ridiculous amount for it. And it was like, and it was like, you know, they tracked the person down. Like, why did you buy it? He was like, because I don't have 2.5 years to play to get to that, so I just bought from him. Like,
yeah, that's and it's a whole market. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember the game Gran Turismo, racing game. I don't even know why, but my sister, when she was in high school, got into that. Mm. She got into that game, and of course, I had moved out, and so she had a PlayStation. She'd bought one and had that game, so I had a PlayStation too. Mm-hmm. But the cool thing about that game was, it's like, because you could modify cars, and it took you long. You know, you modify and tweak these cars. Well, then I would come over with my memory card for my PlayStation,
yeah,
and I would stick it in her machine, and then
it would read it.
We would race. Well, after you raced, you could basically race for pink slips. So if she lost or I lost, she got my car or I got hers, and you would just transfer it to her memory card onto mine, and it would delete it from your memory card to hers. And it was fun. I mean, me and her did that all the time. Cool. Or swap cars. You could swap cars with people. I mean, it was nothing like driving a street legal Astro Martin in a race,
right?
Because the physics and stuff in that game are so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still play them. I'm a Madden guy now. I play MLB The Show. Y'all know I play MLB MLB The Show. I'm a diehard MLB The Show guy.
Yeah, I think the coolest, like it wasn't necessarily an add-on feature, but one of the coolest features of a game that I remember was Monster Rancher, where you would start the game and then you could put in a music CD. And based upon what CD you put in, it would generate a creature that you could raise. Kind of at the time of, what was it, Tamagotchis and all that stuff, where you had to get pet and all that stuff. And I remember one night being over at a friend's house, and I bet we went through 150 CDs just to see what we could create. Sometimes you'd get a duplicate creature, but then every now and then there would be one. I think one of the rare ones that he got was like a black dragon. Like, but it was off like an AC/DC, you know, Highway to Hell kind of thing. Like, and it was just like, depending on which one it was, determined what you got. I remember that was a cool thing.
That's pretty cool.
Because you had to pop the lid up and the game would be spinning, and you'd have to take the game out, put that in, put it back down, and it would read it.
I mean, it's been out for a long time now, but Sims, I remember when Sims 4 was going to come out, and it's been out for like 7 or 8 years now. But Susie was a lot younger. She was really into the Sims 3. And one of the coolest things that ever happened to us was. Of course, we were signed in, you know, EA, and you had your EA accounts and stuff like that. Well, one night we got an email, and it was like, okay, we got this new Sims creator. It's just the creator, and it's not the game. It's just creating the Sims. This is what the new Sims or Sims 4 is going to look like. And
like
we've only picked, it was a beta, and we've selected 2,000 people to get this, and you've been selected. You know, we've selected your account
back when you could trust emails like
that. And it was from EA, and so you clicked on it on the link, and you take you to the EA site, and you could download the beta of the Sim Creator. And I'm talking, this was like 4 or 5 months before the game actually released. And she went absolutely bonkers when she found out, because all it was creating the Sims, but it was the full. It was the full creation gallery.
Hair, eyes, chin, nose.
She sat down there. I mean, of course, she was probably 11 or 12. And she just sat down there for hours just making Sims. Yeah. And then it was like, hey, your feedback is important to us. Let us know. You know, so we sent, you know, you typed some out. You know, had a little survey, sent it back to them. But I still got, it's still on the computer downstairs.
That's like the girls with basement. Minecraft now. Like they picked that up through school, through the STEM program.
Yeah.
And I mean, they'll be on those tablets for hours. And I'm like, what are y'all doing? Playing Minecraft. And I'm like, well, you're walking around in an 8-bit pixelated world digging for stuff. Like, Mario looks better than this did back in the day.
But that game is so addictive.
Yeah.
I had it for me and Susie got it when she was, well, you know, younger still. Yeah. But we had it on PlayStation 3. Mm-hmm. And she was like, play with me, play. So, all right. So we got, you know, and we just built the stuff. And I built this. it took hours, you know, but when we were playing it during Christmas, I built this basically an idol to myself. You know, it was just this big me sitting on a throne. And it, you could see it from all over her world. And one night we're in there playing it, and she got mad at me about something, and I was doing something else wouldn't help her with the house. And I hear this, and I spin my guy around, and she had dynamited the head off of my idol. And of course, I'd be all like, oh, if I went back and looked at it now, it's been so many years, but it's still saved on the PS3.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I have it anymore.
I don't know. It would probably looked exactly.
Yeah.
It was me.
He had figured out exactly how to get it to be his image.
It was just me sitting on this giant throne with this big crown.
And we're not talking about a toilet throne.
No, we're talking about a real throne. But even I like that game because in the adventure part of it, or not the sandbox, but the other one, because I was always like going caving for real.
Yeah,
and I'd get down there and get lost in those caves for hours, just messing around and finding your way through them and stuff like that. It was fun, a lot of fun.
Well, we'd love to hear your video game memories. So let us know on Facebook. What video games do you enjoy? Tell us the video game accessories that were terrible in your day or the ones you loved. Maybe you are a Rob fan. Let us know.
I am.
But check us out on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. Give us a like on Facebook. Tell us how we're doing. Make sure to tell your moms we said hi. Until next time, I'm sorry, Brent.
Make sure you catch that holiday spirit. We'll talk at you later.
I'm Aaron. I'm saying something funny.
Or not.